I make sure.
Okay. I don't want you to not record it. Okay, we're back from a break. TCD Board of Supervisors monthly meeting. And let's see. Nora's on a limited time. Do you want to jump into what she's got to say real quick and then come back to what we were doing? Is that the... I have a thumbs up from a staff person. How about board?
Yeah.
Agree. Nora, why don't you go ahead and do what you have to do? And we'll
thank you very much.
Let you get out of here.
Start at this end. So just a quick elections update. We passed our candidate filing deadline last Friday. And we have four candidates. You'll see in this candidate statements there's five, but one of our candidates, Martin McCallum, chose to withdraw this morning, so we have four official candidates, and they all passed the nominating petition, so all of their names will be printed on the ballot, in addition to a write-in space. Working with the auditor, those ballots are getting printed at the end of this week, so absentee ballots will be available starting next Monday. And then, in addition, I passed out a draft of a how-to-vote flyer. I'm waiting on some of those final details from the auditor in order for that to be finished, but it's in the wings and ready to go. And then the last thing that I shared with you also, now that our candidate filing deadline has passed, I am starting to lightly advertise the appointed position, Doug's position, that comes up for appointment again at the end of March. March 31st is the deadline for interested parties to fill that application out, and so some of that information I started to transition on our website from how to file as a candidate to how to apply for an appointed, and switch over some of that information a little bit.
Can we bring that more towards the front of our website instead of, find it?
I'll put something on the front welcome page that links to it. And then I changed over that elections and appointments page to have some more information about it. And it'll go in our newsletter that's going out, and I put it on our Facebook already, and we'll keep doing some of that advertising too.
Thank you. And then the online absentee ballot,
mm-hmm.
that is available Monday, is that what you said?
That'll be available Monday, yeah. All absentee ballots will be available Monday, whether you go in and get them in person, call and request for one, or you can print it offline beginning Monday.
And the online is the printing one?
Yeah, so the ones you print online, it'll be a URL you click, you sign into your voter account, so you have to already be a registered voter. And then you can print it online and put it in your own envelope and mail it back to the auditor, or drop it in the drop box that's at the county courthouse.
And then there's, on that, as the ballots come in, there's no running totals that anybody can view?
The ballots all get returned to the auditor, and they hold all of, and process all of those. So as they get them in, they'll be entering them in, but it's not...
Is there any running totals, like you can't go and say, hey, what's...
Who's winning right now or something? No, okay. The results will be...
At
the end.
At the end, yeah. And we'll all find out together.
Yeah.
Okay.
So where do I go online to get my absentee ballot?
I'm waiting on that custom URL from the auditor's office. That's what's not available yet.
Will it be available Monday or Tuesday?
Mm-hmm. It should be available by the end of the week to finalize this. Monday is when it'll be open to the public. Monday the 5th is when absentee voting starts. Any other questions?
So can the audience have copies of what you just passed out?
Oh, definitely.
Yes, please. Yes.
Will there be like there's a stack right of these that people can take, or will people just print out their own?
Yep.
And so then we can make as many copies
of those. Is there another one of these?
I passed those out already.
Okay.
Thank you. We can make as many copies of those flyers available to board, public, staff. I mean, whoever wants as many of them.
Okay, great. Just let us know.
I already passed those out. They received copies of the press release.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Thank you, Nora.
Yeah. Which one?
Any other questions for Nora? Joe, Mr. Hanna?
Sure. So it's Nora and down there, to Sarah. You said as many as I want, so I can come in and ask for 100 and you're going to make me 100?
Of what? What's the question again?
I was talking to the board, but if public would like some copies, maybe that's a discussion. Joe said if
And then can we use that?
Yes. When that flyer is finished, I'll be supplying that to all the candidates as a voter information that they can hand out.
Okay.
Yep.
I would think that if candidates are going to populate them, it'd be free walking population.
I think that's something that I think Joe brings up a really good point, that perhaps there should be a cap that we establish how many we'll actually generate and print and use our ink and our paper, because we don't have a budget necessarily to give. What if a candidate comes in and says, I want 5,000 copies?
Yeah.
You know, I think I have some parameters I think would be a good
thing
to establish. Thanks for
anything reasonable there, Linda? 500, 100, 1,000?
How many people normally vote?
What's it cost?
40.
40?
No. We had 100 something last time.
No, there was 300.
300 last time.
Given that we have four candidates, I think if you give everybody a cap of like 25 flyers, I think that's doable. I think if board supervisors or staff are populating other places, that's okay. But I
wouldn't say 100.
I said 25.
I know, I would think 100 would be more appropriate.
I think 25 is reasonable considering their color copies are probably costing the district 20 cents at least each to produce. Yeah,
considering you lost all the funding, I think people could make their own copies.
Yeah, this is funded out of whatever tiny reserve we have left. We don't have a lot of funding this year for election stuff.
Board want to say 25 or more or less or what?
Sounds good.
I got a
sounds good.
Two.
That's fine.
Three. Yep.
I don't know if there's another candidate. Is that reasonable to you?
I have a copier at home, and frankly, since this is an election, and I'm not registered with the Public Election Committee. I got to do it on my own dime, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'll make copies at home.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that direction then. 25 is good. Any other questions for Norton? Which one is through?
Martin McCallum, he's on the back of the front page. Yeah. And that's been updated on our website. So. Anything else?
Doesn't look like it.
Thanks for rearranging your agenda. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Thank you all for your hard work.
Thanks.
Yes.
I just wanted to make one comment that Nora has done an exceptional job administering this election. I think it's one of the best election processes we've had with the most public outreach. I think her working with Linda has really been a wonderful asset for board and staff communication. I'm really impressed by her and this elections process. I think it's going really well, and I think it's worth noting.
Okay. Thank you. Back to policy and procedure updates. What do you want to do on that, Board? Richard, anything?
He's going to form a subcommittee.
Would you like to form a subcommittee? I give the volunteer for a subcommittee. Does staff have time for a subcommittee on policies and procedure updates?
Absolutely.
Okay, so
we'll
have
time.
A rule for availability. Would you have time for?
I would make time for that before the next meeting, assuming that we actually do all of it in one meeting.
Okay. Sam, do you have input?
Do we need a subcommittee?
It was suggested. I'm just.
Well, I understand it was suggested, but I'm also just. I mean, we have a rough idea of these already, and staff has already said that they can put them into policies. Mm-hmm. And so, is it good to utilize more staff time to now have a subcommittee and they have to create the policies?
I think it would be a good idea because a lot of the hashing out can be done in the subcommittee, and then by the time we actually get it to the board meeting, there shouldn't be a lot of discussion by then. As long as, you know, we have everybody's intent to, you know, get the wordsmithing done, you know, without taking up everybody's time. And I think your comments are on. I think I got a copy of those, so I can. Unless you want to be on the committee too.
No, that we can't. Only two board members are on the committee.
Oh, okay.
Well, we haven't decided that. So, did you want to?
Oh, I don't have enough time.
Okay, so
Go ahead, Sarah.
You just may want to, since Doug's not here, you may want to also give him an opportunity to participate in the subcommittee. He's, you know, been with the district for a long time and has developed and generated a lot of policies. It may be beneficial to see if he would like to participate as well.
Okay. Well, is that what you want to do, subcommittee?
Yeah.
We have a vote for a subcommittee and the non-pro way, and then what's your input in it?
So you'll be on it, obviously, since these are your proposals. You want to see if Doug wants to be on it, and if not, I'll be the other board member.
Well, he could still be on it, couldn't he? Couldn't three be on it?
Well, if it's posted as a public meeting, it could be, I think. But then board three, have everybody.
He is good at writing stuff.
He is good at writing stuff.
But I wouldn't want you to be left out.
Well, I don't have to be there. I'm just willing to be there. So...
make a decision, Linda, on whether you want to say okay or let Doug have the opportunity.
I already did.
Okay, so your input is to let...
If Doug doesn't want to do it, I'll do it.
Okay.
If three are allowed, I could probably still do it if need be.
Okay, maybe staff could put some input into the language first and then...
Yeah, that would be great, and I can detail what the questions are, concerns, or suggestions that I have, and then bring that ready for to review and discuss the subcommittee. Send it out prior to the supervisors, so you have time to digest that, and then we have discussion at the subcommittee meeting.
Okay, so let's do that, and then we get into tool polls and everything else. So I'm just wondering about availability for Doug.
We could just throw it out to him.
If he wants to. Give him a two-week window, or?
Sooner the better.
The first two supervisors are available in a two-week window? What's your time frame, Sarah?
Thanks for asking. I have availability starting the week of February 12th. So if we could hit for that middle week, that would still give us time to... for me to generate my response prior, send that out to the board, us meet the second week of February. So that's, you know, 2 weeks from now.
So can we do this? Can we say who's ever is available between Linda and Doug, the 12th through the 16th?
I'm not necessarily sure that there's anything that precludes all three of them from participating.
There isn't. Okay.
So I would just open it up to all three of them to participate. And
okay. All right.
Are Richard and Linda, since you're in the room, are you guys available that week?
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Figure out a time.
I can schedule. And would you like me to contact Doug to see if he'd like to participate?
Sure. Yes, okay. Definitely. Okay. Richard, do you have anything else? We're done with the subcommittee. Yeah.
And is that going to include this 1.2?
No, I don't know what's with it.
Can we do this now? Anybody see any major problems?
Any problems with this way for it?
I think we should run this through the subcommittee with the rest of the policies. Give time, because I think I received this one on Friday, so give time for review and comment, check this against other policies.
That's fine. Okay. Anything else? You have some motions on the back here?
No.
This one?
So
work on all of them later.
Just really quick, when I have comments,
okay.
Who do I send them to the subcommittee? Do I send them to Sarah?
Yes, send them to Sarah.
Oh, okay.
She'll be focusing that subcommittee.
Okay. All right. So I think we're done with all that. Where, Samantha, do you know where I'm at?
You are at the district funding rates and charges update.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Catching up here.
No problem.
Okay. Thank you. So moving into district funding, one of the action items that I had, I believe it was coming from the December 20th meeting to have ready for this meeting, was a proposed timeline. It looks like this. In your packet, to pursue rates and charges to go about approval of that process this year. It says rates and charges 2018 at the top, Thurston Conservation District timeline and process. And in your packet, since we've moved the agenda around a little bit, it comes right before the budget stuff. So if you hit the minutes, you've gone too far. So I was asked to sort of establish. Oh, wait, let me find it. Yes, before the minutes in the packet.
Is it really long? Is
this no, it's one sheet.
Is it, was it in the packet?
Yep.
There's so, a lot with that graph written on it.
Yeah, it's prior to all of those minutes. So what I've proposed on here, I'm not sure if you've had a chance to review the electronic copy or not, was moving forward with rates and charges, a process for us to do that and to work with the county. I have a call into the county manager to connect with him after we discuss this at the board meeting today. This is essentially a timeline and process for the Conservation District to do our pieces, the first of which is being setting a public hearing for rates and charges a minimum of 2 weeks from now, my recommendation. And I have this to set this date at the February meeting. So you're hearing all of this information now, and then to if you like this timeline, we can move forward with that. But to set a public hearing for that, we'll do our advertising per statute and then some above and beyond is certainly the mode of operation we want for getting information out to the public. And so you'll see here I have it laid out with a timeline, like a deadline, a lead of who will take that task, the goal, what the main action is, and then the activities underneath that to fulfill that action. A couple of things. One, scheduling this public hearing date. Two is designating a public hearing officer, whether a board supervisor would like to do that or designate that role to staff, but somebody to oversee and administer the public hearing. There won't be any decisions taken at that public hearing, but that information will be collected and then presented, or the board will make formal consideration at a public board meeting. I have given us in this timeline here enough time to move forward with ample advertising of this process and making it so that we can do plenty of PR if we have funding available, hold open houses, but really get the word out to inform the community and the public about what the Conservation District is and does, and rates and charges as a funding mechanism. This will also, this timeline will give us opportunity to reconnect with the cities that showed interest in annexing into the district. I think that's a tandem process that we'll want to run throughout the rest of this year. I have on here consideration at the April board meeting for the final approval, which is still well ahead of any sort of deadlines that we would have with the county. And then that would, I would submit, based on approval, submit that information, those updated resolutions, the ones that were approved in 2017. We would want to consider reapproval of those, submit that ordinance package with those resolutions back to the county and documentation of our public hearing and process. And we'll, thankfully, we have all of that great data from the FCS group. And so, getting that into the treasurer's office as well, you'll see there by May 1st, so shortly following the board meeting. And then working with the county to, on their end, schedule a county commissioner public hearing. Obviously, this is all theoretical, pending approval, consideration from both boards, but, and then their considered approval at that time. So this is sort of what I have laid out to make sure that we have ample time to do our due diligence, ample time to inform the public beyond just the minimum requirements.
My only question is, what happens if you end up with two supervisors being, what happens if you end up with two new supervisors, and then you don't have a board that wants to come raise some charges and wants to stay in an assessment. So then shouldn't we just wait until after appointments of the elected and commission board members?
We certainly could delay things another month. I hesitate in that to, I mean, the commission certifies elections.
April 1st?
No, May 16th, 17th.
Yeah.
So we wait till the, so that would be 2 months.
I mean, yeah.
Well, it would be a month, right?
Well, I mean, so then you would be asking two new supervisors to step into a process midway to consider approval and adoption. This gets through the approval process and the public hearing process with our existing board rather than switching them out halfway through, so that the supervisors that hear the public testimony are the ones making the decision rather than these supervisors are hearing the public comment and then these supervisors are making decisions. If you want to shift the whole timeline back, we just run up against our deadline again, and it might be best for us to do it in case there's any surprises.
The December was the deadline?
Our original deadline, no, it was August 1st, so we got all of that information into the county before that deadline. So as soon as I stepped into this role, I sent over a lot of information to them and did a briefing with the commissioners, which you were part of. That was our original deadline, and that's in statute, is to have all of that information to them by that deadline. They requested additional information along the way, which we sent them at their request. That's fine, but...
So do we have our... do you have set up here when is the first required public comment period?
That's something that I'm proposing back to the board, is let's establish that date. I think that's a decision that should be made.
Do we have to do one or more?
One.
One. Mm-hmm.
Do you have to resubmit stuff to the county again this year?
Mm-hmm. So we'll want to, the board will need to reconsider the resolutions adopted for the race and charges process, you know, after hearing public comment, and then the appeals process as well. Those were both resolutions submitted in 2017. The board will want to review and consider adoption of those again. We'll update our ordinance for 2018.
Do we have the public comment from the time before still available? Is that still valid public comment?
The whole process has to be redone.
Okay, so mm-hmm. whoever, I don't know how many people commented.
Well, our public comment process last year didn't happen appropriate according to statute, so.
Got it.
But we only required one, but we had to do more than one.
I don't believe so,
no.
Shauna.
No, the statute requires one mm-hmm. public hearing.
The county then has to have a public hearing of their own before their county commissioners consider adoption. So that's maybe where you're getting to from.
Is there a time lapse in between the two?
It's chronological. So this draft plan that you see here covers all of TCD's process. Once we have done our due diligence in our process, the county will then schedule their public hearing. They have a certain advertising requirement and public notice requirement they have to follow. Once those dates are scheduled, I can fold that in here, but I think they'd like to see us go through our process first and then bring this information to them. This will be done definitely in tandem so that they're well aware of what we're doing every step of the way. I just wanted to bring this draft to the board first before that information goes to the county commissioners and to discuss a public hearing.
Go ahead, Samantha.
Samantha Flexner here. Going off of what Eric said, what would the process be to no longer pursue rates and charges and potentially go back to assessment? How difficult would that be, and or why, I guess?
Would you or would you not? The process of renewal is similar. Rates and charges was built on the process of renewal or implementation of an assessment. There are differences, which we reviewed last year, and we can certainly provide for the February meeting and have some discussion on the differences and the pros and cons There were definitely some decided pros on the rates and charges versus the former assessment. And we did, you know, put forth that investment to FCS Group to compile current data associated with each parcel to pursue rates and charges.
Yeah, we got a lot of money tied up in this one.
You just don't want to end up with a, yeah, as long as you're sure that rates and charges potentially to go forward with the board, if the board votes on rates and charges, and then you have two new supervisors announce that they say, no, we want to go assessment, then where are you at?
Is it possible to get a copy of the original lawsuit that started this whole thing and the judgment on that and the reasoning?
Information about that?
Yeah.
Are there concerns that the board has now about rates and charges versus assessment? I'd be happy to try and find information to help.
None that I need.
Well, this is Shauna from the commission. There's a district operations brief with basic information that compares what an assessment is to what are rates and charges. It doesn't go deeply into the points of the prior lawsuit. That would be a separate
research item. I think I read that already, and I wasn't really convinced that it was worth whatever it cost to come up with that.
The rates and charge proposal?
Yeah, the FCS group, whatever they cost, which was a lot, I wasn't really convinced that that was, the difference was worth all of that effort and all of this.
It's mess. More of a long-term thing with rates and charges.
I think a couple of the reasons that personally I feel like rates and charges is a benefit is that it, by definition, is more legally defensible than assessment. Districts were having their assessment challenged throughout mostly Western Washington, I believe. And from my understanding from conversations with FCS Group, it's that when the legislature created the assessment, and please jump in if I misspeak anywhere, that assessments by nature are not the best vehicle for collecting, recovering costs for the work that the district does. In that a lot of them are tied, typically assessments, to increasing property values, which is not something that conservation work is really the goal. The mission is not to increase property value. The second thing that I really like is that we went through a pretty extensive review of all of our programs and services at the Conservation District when we were developing rates and charges. It was a board and staff exercise, and we, rates and charges really accurately captures direct benefit, so to each parcel, and indirect benefit, so like large-scale work, if we do large-scale restoration in a watershed, it's able to capture both of those. And it's not just a flat fee for everybody, but based on what types of services we provided, it's categorized by land use type. So I think potentially it's a more accurate way. That's just why I like.
I guess the confusing thing for me was, so they came up with 10 different categories, and the difference between the 10 categories was pennies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe 4 cents at the most, it seems.
It's just more of a legally defendable rates and charges, because the way the rates and charges and looking at how it plays out, and I don't you know, this is perfect scenario, but the way that it was explained is it's more defendable because of an indirect benefit on a rates and charges, where a assessment, the way it was explained to me from what I can remember, was that if somebody got taxed $5 for their, or whatever, for their parcel, and they had never used the district or heard of the district, they could sue for their $5 back because it was taxation without representation. So that's the way it was explained. So I'm just saying that maybe it should be pushed back a little bit, just to make sure that your new supervisor or supervisors have an input to the whole entire process. Go ahead, Shauna.
Can I add to that a little bit, Eric? This is Shauna from the commission.
by going through the process of putting together the rates and charges proposal, Sarah mentioned the reflecting on the district's programs and services, but what you're doing that makes the rates and charge system more legally defensible is matching those programs and services up with the different land use types and the different rates that people are charged. And yeah, it does seem silly that different land use types might be only pennies apart, but you only have $5 to work with. So to parse that out can be pretty tough. And usually the land use types somewhat come from the tax designations that already exist on your county's tax roll. So some counties may only have 3 or 4, and you only spread it out among 3 or 4. Sounds like there are quite a few more in Thurston County.
Then there's a limit to per your population density right now. So there's some lobbying efforts to get that removed. If that was removed, then the rates and charges per parcel could go from $5 to $10 to $15 to $20. So then our budget would go from X to Y if that went through the legislature and was approved. The per parcel could go from $5 to a maximum of $20.
So people's taxes would go up.
So instead of $300,000, you'd end up with even higher. So which hand was on first? Yeah. Do you have any questions about that, Linda?
I'll just rest my case.
Okay, go ahead, Sarah.
I just want to clarify something that Eric said. So that legislation has been swirling in and out of the legislature since rates and charges was created, whether to eliminate the caps for lower population districts or increase the caps or change them, all of that, which has not been successful thus far. If, in the event legislation changes to alter the cap that Thurston currently has, King has a $20 cap, for example, then...
Because of their density.
Right.
But let's say Benton County or something, or...
$5.
It's $5, and let's say their county's super small, and they lobby and then get the $20. Every county can get the $20, so our budget would go from 5 to 20.
Which would go through the approval process over again. It would start at the board level to decide, is this something that we want to do, pass, and approve? Yeah, it doesn't immediately just change all the rates.
The commissioners would have to approve.
The commissioners would have to approve it again. So when you're affecting that rate and charge per land use type, that is, if that cap raises in the legislature, that's an ability. But then we would go through the same public hearing process. Do people want to pay that much for these services or not? And then the board would make an informed decision. The county commissioners would have a public hearing. They would make a decision. So it doesn't automatically increase people's taxes. I don't want that to be the take-home message on that. And I know Joe's been waving over there, so I want to make sure.
Do you want to add something quickly?
Yeah. Maybe to help you understand some of Linda is in very basic layman's terms. I've reviewed the lawsuit. Very basic layman's terms is that under assessment, the taxpayers can turn around and sue because you weren't providing that individual a benefit.
Yeah.
Under rates and charges, simply putting in a culvert that prevents flooding of a road benefits everybody in the district. So everybody in the district has now received a benefit.
So what do you want to...
And I know you don't like the tax portion.
What do you want to do, board? Because it's 4:16.
It is.
We've got a lot to go. This is my basketball game for sure. Yes, Sarah?
I just wanted to recap that I can certainly take this and any feedback, thoughts, or comments, and bring this back at the February meeting with all of the information, the ordinance from the last year, the resolutions from the last year.
Or maybe you could just send those over to Linda.
Well, I'll send them out to everybody. I mean, it's been a while since we've all looked at them, so I can certainly send them out via email as well.
So do you want to table this or make a decision for it?
Well, she's talking about doing something in the February meeting.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not asking for a decision.
Okay, so we're just coming up.
Right. Yes, Joe.
Actually, Sam's down there first.
Oh, Samantha. Yes, Sam. Sorry, I didn't see you.
Samantha Fleischer here. So, Eric, I don't think that we should stop going through with this process, because even if this isn't the process that we choose. We're still going to have to go through with an assessment process. So we need to continue forward with momentum with either getting rates and charges or new board members that may want to revert to assessments that what have you. I think that we need to continue this momentum because regardless of what avenue we take, we're still going to have to do all of these things.
Okay.
So. Is there a, thank you, Ray. Once you announce the public hearing, does it have to happen within a certain amount of time of the announcement or can it be later?
It has to happen when it's announced.
Well.
You announce a date.
Oh, you announce the date.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And I'm happy to meet with you two to talk more in depth about the differences.
Go ahead, Joe.
My suggestion would be to push the actual hearing to March because your new officers will be in by then, right?
Not till May. We appoint in May and we certify the elections in May, the May commission.
Not till May. Never mind, because yeah. That's too late.
Yeah. Okay, so agree to our timeline or postpone it for a month?
I'm okay with postponing for a month.
Okay, that's 1-4. Find the 2-4.
Yeah, we need to move forward.
3-4, okay. Go ahead with your timeline. Okay.
That's
all right.
And again, I'm more than happy to provide any information to anybody, board, public, staff, about the differences between the two or information about how rates are calculated, all of that information. So just contact me.
Okay. Moving onward, capital budget update. I believe that's where we're at.
We got a capital budget.
Yay.
Yes, mass cheering. We also got a HRSA decision in there, which I emailed out to the Board of Supervisors. Information on that, there was an MRSC article that was published, and it detailed in there some of the decisions that were made in HRSA, some of the moving forward, some of the requirements that are going to be made and listed by watershed, some of the permit process and requirements for exempt wells. So that information was sent out. You have that. We do have this capital budget now, and funds are starting to trickle down. I think I'd like to also invite Shauna to share how that impacts funding through the commission. Is that okay to put you on the spot?
Sure.
For that.
So we have two. Well, we have three pots of capital funds. We have the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program, or CREP, you'll hear that acronym a lot, which we're in the process of going through and making allocations for technical assistance. I'm not sure if you've heard any outreach from Brian yet, Brian Cochran, on our staff, but you should any time. I know he's working through that. The natural resource investments funding, the second pot of money, we used to call it non-shellfish. So when you've heard me talk about non-shellfish in the past, it's the same pot of money, new name. We met at the end of last week, staff internally, and reviewed pending projects that were looking for those funds. So Thurston CD had put in a couple of projects into that were reviewed. So we should have some decisions made shortly on those funding allocations. The third pot of money is shellfish funding, and we're actually having a meeting to discuss that tomorrow morning, pending planned projects. So you should hear some news in the next couple of weeks if we make funding awards to Thurston CD.
What was some of the shellfish funds that we don't currently or historically go after? You know?
I think Eric's asking about livestock TA. Is that what you're asking?
Are you talking about what kinds of projects you can do with that?
Right. What kind of projects have we typically not done? I know Mark said something about he was wondering why we're not going for a certain shellfish.
So an example of the type of project that we have funded with shellfish funding is the upgrades you did to your dairy. Right. If we focus on waste management,
right.
Because livestock manure tends to end up downstream and impact shellfish growing areas. So long story short, that's the focus of that funding. So any project like building a waste storage structure or helping with managing nutrients would be eligible for shellfish funding. Yeah. Cost share.
Wasn't there another one, though, Sarah, that we typically haven't done that's available through the commission? I know Mark said that we were... there were some funds available that we hadn't
ever went after. And so
well, there were those two pots, at least that we've had in the 4 years I've been around. The natural resource investments, which we used to call non-shellfish, because it's a broader of eligibility for projects, and then shellfish. CREP, you guys have been working on building a CREP program slowly over time, and you used to work with Lewis County and their staff, and then you got your own staff. So that program has been building.
Well, I'll figure it out and then bring it back to the next.
I have two thoughts that might answer your question. One is that from time to time, there's been shellfish cost share available through the commission to us, and shellfish cost share available through our former assessment. So typically, when we utilize funding for cost share in the shellfish protection districts, we utilize our own cost share funding first, expend that, and then move into the shellfish cost share. That's been historically what's happened.
I'll find out and I'll bring it back to the next meeting.
I think that's a comment that I've heard Mark made, is you tend to leave a lot of shellfish cost share on the table. Why is that? And that's because we have two pots of shellfish cost share, and we eat through them as much as there's interest in that year, and then there's available. I did also submit a request to increase our livestock TA. I think you received.
So that's livestock technical assistance funding. That's part of our shellfish allocation. So the same shellfish source of funds. We allocate a certain amount to each district that's eligible. So there are 14 conservation districts eligible for that, Puget Sound and then Grace Harbor and Pacific Counties. And it's to do planning and project development for those livestock technical assistance projects. So it's to help you build those projects that then you would put into our database and request cost share funding for.
So that's
Thurston CD, in the time I've been working at the commission, has had an allocation of $1,200 a year. That's pretty small on the range of what other districts are allocated, okay? Whatcom CD is allocated a pretty large portion, but they also have a lot of dairies and livestock operations they have to provide technical assistance to. So Sarah and I were talking about that, and she submitted a proposal to increase that livestock technical assistance allocation. So we'll consider that in our shellfish meeting tomorrow as well.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
How does one go about creating a project? Like, suppose there was a brand new idea. How would that work its way into the system?
That could be complex. It would depend on different ways that a landowner might contact the district. So typically there's two ways that a landowner would get in touch with a district to do work. You could be referred to a district by a regulatory agency. So the Department of Ecology or the Department of Ag says, you need to do something about this problem. Go work with the district and get some help.
Or the county.
The other avenue would be you learn about the district and you're like, hey, I want to know about what can I do with my manure. And you call up a staff member and you start talking with them. And maybe they have resources to help you with a conservation plan. Maybe they don't. Maybe they just give you some advice, you know, in one site visit. It's a building relationship over time. And then you arrive at, hey, I think I'm ready to do this as a cost share project. And then the district staff would put that into our database. It's probably a lot of other funding sources too, and try to find cost share funds to help you do that. And Sarah can provide more details.
So when we get a landowner that is interested, comes to the district, and they would like to have a project done, or they have an idea of something that they want to do on their property, they typically have an initial site visit with one of our resource team, Habitat or our Ag resource team. Go out there, meet one-on-one, hear about what they want to do. A lot of our cost share projects are sort of the last step in, like Shauna said, a relationship building piece. There's conservation plans or other types of plans developed. And then we assess, you know, what is the resource need, you know, on that parcel or that property? What's the need of the landowner? We match that up, take it internally, and see what type of funding we have available to do work in that geographic area or for that type of resource concern. If we have a program or a service that has funding that can match up with that landowner's need and that resource need on that piece of property, then that's how a project gets some traction and goes through. If there's not, it goes through a different channel where we can get up to a certain point and propose that project and then go and find funding associated with that. So whether that's sending it to the commission for consideration for through CPDS or sending that through any one of the lead entities around here.
Or us.
Or connecting with NRCS.
We refer a lot of our projects back to the district, and the district refers to us, so we have that unique partnership.
Absolutely.
So who amongst the staff is in charge of the shellfish?
Depending on what type of practice, all of our resource team has worked in the shellfish area. So we have our habitat staff and our ag staff. We have two on each right now, two resource technician, or a resource technician, a resource specialist, and a habitat technician. Depending on the need of the landowner, it goes to whomever has that expertise and administers that type of program. So if it's a, if there's somebody who's interested in CREP, it goes to one of our staff that works with that program, or if it's somebody who has is interested in doing LID, we have one individual with an LID certification, it goes to them.
Okay.
If it's a CNMP that needs to be written, which is a certified injury management plan.
Comprehensive.
I was like, wait a minute.
I used to do that too.
Then I know I was like, whoa, I feel it.
You looked at me.
I feel it.
I'm giving the vibe.
then that would go to Robin because he's the one that's certified to write comprehensive management plans.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so that's your capital budget update.
And a lot of others rolled into one.
Right. So we're done with that. 2018 Shellfish Work Program.
Very exciting update. Hold on to your seats. So in your, I'm serious about that. In your packet, you'll see an updated summary sheet here. It looks like this. It was right behind the rates and charges timeline update. This is the same style of summary sheet that you saw back in, I believe, October of 2017. This Shellfish Protection District work plan. These are all of the proposals that were generated initially at that time when we had some uncertainty when we lost rates and charges funding this year about how that would affect the work plan overall, what type of funding would be available, how much was residual in the fund versus how much unspent funds would come back. Now that it's, you know, much later in our process, you know, typically we review and approve these in the fall, we have no numbers to work with. And so this is the updated balance for the the Shellfish Protection Work Program and the funding levels for each of the proposals. You've received all of these proposals. The only change from the 2017 packet that you received is the number 4 item on here, engaging landowners in Henderson and Nisqually, has been scaled down to meet the available funding needs. And I think that's an accurate reflection of staffing capacity as well.
Are you looking for an approval of this plan? Or
yeah, so the next...
If we think something should be moved into a different area, then that would be our decision.
Well, these are the proposals that were generated and submitted and put forth. So typically, the process looks like this: is that, you know, these came before the board in the fall. You know, for any questions from project sponsors, it turns out because of the amount of funding that we ended up having this year, there's not as much of a concern about prioritizing projects. Because we had some unspent funding coming back to the district. So what we're looking for at this point is approval of the board for this current slate of programs in this work plan that's been updated, and then it's set to go before the county commissioners next month for their approval as well.
What's the, on the technical assistance on the with the VSP tie-in? Develop 6 individual stewardship plans, VSP?
Yeah, so we ended up getting, there was less funding available to implement the voluntary stewardship program sent to the district for implementation
from the county?
Mm-hmm. This year, and so I wrote some additional support for getting VSP underway and being able to robustly implement that, some additional support for it into that technical assistance program.
Hang on a second, let me catch Richard up.
That's item number 5, technical assistance and conservation planning proposal for anyone else.
Thank you for coming.
Okay.
So how much money did we get from VSP?
So that MOU is coming up. Well, I don't know what item it's under now.
7 and 8.
Yeah, and that is in here. It's about $34,000 this year and $32,000 for the next year.
That's it?
Yes. Hence why I wrote it into another proposal.
That's it?
What was the total allocation? Off the top of your head.
Yeah, here. Let me look. I have it right here. And see if the county's... budget is also in here. I believe it is with the total. $77,000.
Was
the... So $37,000, not $32,000.
Okay, but what was the total VSP to the county? How much are they shaving off?
Oh, that's our total budget. I can get detailed information.
Well, would you say $37,000?
That's what we have for this...
Is that $1,000 staff time at Robin's rate?
Do you remember what the fine detail is?
Not to put you on the spot, Amy, but...
Right? That's information that we can... It's for the biennium.
So
yeah.
That's how long?
I mean, 30s. Or no, it's not. It's not for the biennium. It's for the... But it's on the state fiscal year. So that's July 1 through... 17.
We're
on
the first
year.
So it's
the year. Yeah, the first year. Yeah, that's the annual funding. So you'll see in here 2017 to 18. It's under tab
11.
Which you don't have tabs, but it was under tab 7.
So I come up with roughly 1,000 hours at our tax rate. And that would be to do 6 plans, 6 individual stewardship plans, and technical assistance with 50 landowners, 2,500 VSP.
So you're reading the shellfish work plan proposal?
Correct.
Which is to do work within the shellfish protection district.
So then those are other allocations.
And Richard asked how much money we got from the county for VSP. So that's a separate MOU that's later in your packet. This is just the Shellfish Protection District work plan. And
so
this is
it's
what
on
we,
top of this then?
Right. This would be in addition to what we've already, what we will hopefully sign an MOU today for, to receive those funds from VSP to add some additional capacity to.
If we get to it, right. What's the board think? Does this look like a good thing here that staff's provided for us? Or a comment?
Where did the $247,000 come from?
Sarah?
That's all of these numbers from the proposals 1 through 9, the total cost.
So you had money beginning fund balance from January 17, and then there was an estimated revenue, total funds.
That's tracking you through the 2017 calendar year.
Right. And then there was a $100,000 unspent that were allocated in projects but were not completed, correct?
Right. That came back into the fund.
Right. So it went back into the fund.
Mm-hmm. So those are dollars available to fund the current work program.
So she has a balance of $249,448,333.
To work with,
and so her proposed budget's about $2,000 short of that to make sure she's under her estimated working funds balance.
And this is Tris Carlson from the Shellfish Stakeholder Group came to speak at the December 20th meeting with their review and ranking of proposals, and that's when we discussed revising our own budget based on their review and ranking of the Shellfish Protection District work plan. However, as final billings have come in, we have actual numbers to work with, and so we were able to fund.
Any other deviation from this? It could be better, or this is the best as staff seems that it can be?
Yeah, and I think this is excellent. I think it's excellent that we're able to fund the majority of the work program this year and certainly fund our technical assistance capacity at a higher amount than in the past. I think our historic technical assistance proposals for the Shellfish Protection District have been around $30,000. This increases our technical services to the community.
Is this in the Shellfish District and out?
No, this is just within the Shellfish Protection
District. So 50 landowners, can we modify this to say in or out of the Shellfish District?
This fund is just to work within the Shellfish Protection District.
Was this, it looks like that 28% we just talked about, is this what this is?
That's what it is, and the leftover that was unspent.
So there's no new revenue generated in 2018 feeding into that. You'll see that in the top calculations. No new revenue since we don't have an assessment or recent charges with an agreed 28% feeding into that.
Quickly, Joe, quickly.
So projects are funded through the previous year's collection of assessments? So does that mean next year you won't have any money?
Correct. Unless...
So you should be looking at carrying some money over for next year? If you want to fund anything next year?
I think it depends on what...
If we got rates and charges next year, then there would be money available?
Based on the previous year, right?
I hear what you're saying, having carryover to continue to fund work. This is what the Shellfish Stakeholder Group's prioritization was. I think that moving forward, if we establish a system of rates and charges and or an assessment and continue that 28% relationship, I mean, there's a lot of decisions I think that need to be made at the board level and with the stakeholder group in the county, a lot of conversation that needs to happen about how to continue to fund that. And I mean, that's a valid consideration.
Okay, so my question is if we get rates and charges for 2019 or assessment, would there potentially be money for the Shellfish Protection Fund for 19?
It depends. It depends on how you'd like to set up that. We would definitely.
Right, so yes or no?
Potentially. I mean, I can't make those decisions. Those are your decisions.
Right, I understand, but let's say so I'll give you more information so you can maybe say yes or no. So if we left everything the same and we got money for assessment for 19, would there be money for the Shellfish Protection?
If you establish the exact same kind of relationship, then there would be a 28% fund, yes, that would feed into this. There likely will be some unspent funding coming back to populate this. Will we be going into 2019 with as robust numbers in here? Probably not.
What's typically been the budget? What was the budget for 2016 off the top of your head for the Shellfish Fund? Off the top of your head, am I going to
probably 260.
Okay,
probably
so I say we approve it unless there's deviation.
So I know you tried to answer my question. I think you understand what I was asking, but yes or no, is there any money if there is no assessment or rates and charges for 2018?
Right.
And if it's based off the previous year's collection of rates and charges or assessment, mm-hmm. then there is no money for 2019.
It's, okay. Yeah, that's the question. Is it based off the previous year?
Well, I think the county has some influence on that, too. I mean, aren't they the ones that set the rate at 28%, 10 years ago?
It was a conversation that was established in our original assessment agreement between our board and
I understand the 20%, but I guess
I was answering Amy's question.
The question is the one that I have is it
There will not.
On the previous year or the year that you give the money. So if we go into 19 and we have rates and charges or assessment, let's say the 28% is the same, would there be a budget for 19 or was it dependent on 18?
Right. We would not be going into the next year with a known pot of funding that we could anticipate because we wouldn't have, we would have a lapse in a year of collection. We would then start to generate revenue in 2019 and we'll likely still, I think it's reasonable to say we'll likely have some carryover. It will not be at this dollar amount.
So if we have money in 19, the only carryover would be the only amount of funding.
Unspent dollars from this plan.
Is for, that correct?
Yeah.
For this work program. However, we will start generating our own districts. I mean, we will start generating funding to do work, and I think that...
In 19?
In 19. If we go through a rates and charges process, and that's something that I think we would then align our annual budget to, and if there's work to be prioritized, if that's something that the board can detail in our annual plan, to ensure that we have, if you'd like to target services to the Shellfish Protection District. I think that...
So the funds that are generated in 19, mm-hmm. can they be spent in 19?
There you go.
Probably, yeah. I mean, as we get them in, yeah.
Well, that's the thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's the question that's being asked. It's we're not getting a clear answer, but Linda just asked it, so there can be a clear answer.
Well,
go ahead, Shauna.
I might be able to help here. This is Shauna from the commission. So you won't be collecting any local funds in 2018. So you're not going to hit January 1, 2019 with money in the bank.
Right.
But usually you get to about two disbursements if you start a rates and charge in 2019.
Yeah, but aligning with property tax payments, so May right. and November. I mean, and payments trickle in the rest of the months of other late payers or whoever.
So potentially in June, there would be an allocation.
That would be half.
Oh, yeah.
Money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Richard.
So why do we have to do this?
Why do we have to?
I think he's asking the question of can we take those funds out of the Shellfish Protection and allocate them elsewhere?
No. That's an established agreement between the county commissioners and the TCD board for this funding during our prior assessment MOU.
But that's prior. That's not now.
But they were
these
collected
funds were collected under that agreement. We're not collecting any new funds now.
Does anybody have a copy of that agreement, Alexia?
Yeah.
So either you approve it or you wait till next meeting.
This is going to continue to keep our technical staff funded to work in 2018 without an additional revenue source of rates and charges or assessment. This is going to provide about $200,000 worth of funding for district staff.
Yeah, well, I'm going back with Joe's thing. At the end of this year, if we spend all this money this year, we won't have any coming into 2019.
It still won't let us, even if we wait this year and decide to use this funding in 2019, it's still already funds that were generated through that prior assessment, and we cannot utilize those funds for another purpose.
How do we know that?
Well, we signed our assessment MOU, which is like a contract with the county.
But you can't carry it over like you're doing this year?
I don't think there's anything that prohibits us.
You mean it's not renewed or anything? It's just kind of a continuous thing. It just goes on and on. No one renews it?
No, it renews. The collection renews as part of our assessment. We can leave this money in the bank and not disperse it to get projects on the ground, which I would certainly want to hear more about why. I understand contingency and some reserve for carrying forth.
Can we take this and put it towards an executive director?
No, absolutely not.
But the rates and charges, if I understand it correctly, doesn't have this 28% mandatory for shellfish protection in it.
That's not how we had it.
In the future, I mean, for Richard's concerns.
That's not how it was set up in the 2017 calendar year. I think it would be a great thing
to put funding on the ground to fund this work plan and continue this work and to continue to fund our technical staff at the district and to have a conversation with the county and with the Shellfish Stakeholder Group and our TCD board about moving forward in the future of the Shellfish Production District work program and how we can collaboratively fund that in the future. Because it may or may not be at our board's direction funded through our rates and charges or our assessment. You know, I think that this is a conversation to have, certainly.
So I say you do it whole, do it three quarters, or do it in half. Pick your percentage. It doesn't make sense to have it sitting in the bank. Go ahead, Samantha.
I think this is really specific. I mean, like, this whole detailed thing is really specific about work that needs to be done. And in theory, we'll enter into 2019 with a rates and charges system, but this is separate from that. So I think that we're kind of getting things layered and crossed and confused a little bit, where this is a really specific work program for 2018. Like, well, it's really specific.
I would agree, but conduct four workshops, FireWise and farm management habitat stewardships. That's something good to do, but it's not a, I would pick that less over, you know, a technical assistance to landowners. I would rather give direct technical assistance to a landowner than provide a FireWise workshop or you know what I'm saying? So the board has the ability to approve or disapprove any part, I would think.
So this overlaps, though. I mean, it's not as specific as you're reading it. It's from these four workshops, all of this other stuff can be generated. And it's not linear. It's not just what you're seeing. It's conducting some workshops for farm management leads you to meeting people that need farm plans, and it's an avenue. It's not, so I mean, I think reading it as we have to do X, Y, and Z, these are, sorry, Sarah, go for it. I know you'll.
Well, can we could say we want to conduct one workshop and put more into technical assistance, so, right? This is your work plan, right, Sarah?
Yes. I would also say that the items that are put forth in all of the conservation district proposals here are directly tied to our strategic plan goals and funding the work.
Four workshops, basically.
Five by 2020.
For FireWise. It's meeting those measurable deliverables that the board articulated in our five-year strategic plan.
And if I'm reading this properly, this is Samantha Fleischner, it's not saying that we are only doing six restorations and we are only doing four workshops. It's saying we are doing at least this.
Right. You know, four workshops for FireWise for 20 by 2020, so I have two more years.
Well, and this says four workshops on topics like FireWise, farm management, habitat stewardship.
So I mean, that would be within the whole thing. Okay, I get you.
Yeah, there's a variety of topics, FireWise being one of those
I
topics.
Understand that.
The intent is not for FireWise workshops.
I understand.
Absolutely. I'm fine. Provide that clarification.
Okay, well, just what's the board want to do? Did you have something, Amy?
I hope I didn't miss anything. But it would be most advantageous to get as much out of the Shellfish program for the district as possible because that's overhead. So this has more overhead feeding into our district operations budget that has suffered the most with the loss of rates and charges. So this plan, excuse me, I'm out of breath, is not even fully reflected in the staffing plan because this all happened, on Friday. So this is going to create more money feeding into the district operations budget.
And so we're in January, so 475.45, and then if we got rates and charges or assessment, I just said it wrong, sorry. So that would be 12. When would we have money coming in from one of those other rates and charges or assessment? Right. The first for 19 would be coming in May, you said?
Yeah.
May. For March, April, May. So that would be 5 months. So 12 plus 5 divided by 17 months. That would be times 12. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to, I think I might see where your thought process is going down about a concern from a January to June gap in funding. So we have a variety of funding sources and funding pots that are rolling on a continual basis with the capital budget release, with some of the NDAs that we've developed and are getting funding on. We have funding coming into the district, I'm hoping for by the end of this first quarter, that carry us through the rest of the biennium, so through June of 2019. We're continuing to seek funding, to add additional funding, to continue technical services, workshops, you know, everything else which, you know, generates overhead into our district operations budget. I'm more concerned about getting conservation work on the ground, utilizing these funds for what they've been allocated for, and ensuring that our technical staff has funding through 2018, where we have this large gap in our prior assessment funding, which also feeds into district operations. I think moving into the following years, this is going to give us an entire year to work to continue to build that funding. We have some known funding sources already coming into the district to do similar types of work. I think our crucial need is now, funding now.
So let me go back to the statement that Amy made. This plan feeds into the what?
So
district operations.
District operations.
Budget. Funding for administrative, financial, leadership, staff, and the facilities.
This work plan is for these very specific deliverables that are outlined in each of these proposals. All of these proposals, it funds that work directly, and then there's an overhead allocation, a 25% overhead allocation in each of these proposals. That 25% is what feeds into our district operations.
So that'd be $75,000, basically, in your district operations. The only other thing I could say is that if you wanted to make sure you were covered in the shellfish district all the way through your gap for your 19, if you got rates and charges or assessment, that would be about $14,557, rough figures, a month. So multiply that out from January this year to January next year, it would knock your budget down about $175,000 roughly. And then that other $100,000 would carry you through the next 5 months, if I did my math right.
Yeah, however, we do have other funding sources that fund in the Shellfish Protection District. Like I mentioned, we have that NTA that's coming. Hopefully we've had our allocation to do a lot of technical assistance work, which covers the Shellfish Protection District. Hoping we get that MOU to the board, hopefully by the February board meeting, likely the March board meeting, and that carries through to June 30, 2019. So there's additional revenue sources coming. We continue to build and apply for them. Our need is for now.
Okay, so
this section right here, then we have this all listed out. This is for operational expenses here.
No, everything.
25%.
25% of the whole dollars.
25% of the conservation district proposals.
Of this.
Of the 247.
For the record, 247.75. 47.
No, because it doesn't count the septic stuff.
That figure
it would
there.
Be 25% of 2 through 7, with the exception of the cost share.
So it's about $50,000 for operations. Thank you for the clarity.
Yeah.
So the restoration fund, that's. Doesn't have anything to do with housed in here. That's passed through.
Right.
None of that money's going to district staff.
Correct. So this fund was
an agreement that was set up to be a collaborative work program between the district and key partners to do targeted work in the Shellfish Protection District. What was it, back in 2003, back in the early 2000s, a work program with this shellfish stakeholder group, which is made up of citizens and tribes and local jurisdiction staff, was created to do targeted work to do recovery of shellfish growing areas. So it's a collaborative process with the Conservation District getting the lion's share of this, and then partners to help implement some of those components. So some of the dollars, a small amount of the dollars, go to other entities to do certain types of work that the district doesn't do, to fund and implement this work program that we collaboratively established. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so this one up here, number one, homeowner septic grant, was that lady?
Jane Mountjoy Bennett?
Yeah.
You don't have a choice on that.
What's that?
You don't have a choice on that. The county's keeping that.
I just wondered who it was.
Is it supposed to be January 2018 that's the beginning fund balance?
No, because that's just showing what was spent in 17. On the very top, you mean, Linda?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah,
no,
that's
the $406,000. What does that mean?
So in January, there was $258,000 in the fund.
A year ago.
Yes, and then during 17, $149,900 was added to the fund through the 28% of our collections. So that's the total fund balance of 408.
For last year.
Yeah. And then the approved work program for last year was 268, but 109,000 was not spent. And then the next line, 2017 estimated expenses, that should actually say carryover, because there was a 159,000 in the fund even before 2017.
Okay, so the 248 is 109 plus 159?
That's what that was. That should have been.
I'm not sure how this is going to go.
Okay. I didn't change any of the words. That's just how it
was. Oh, okay.
Yeah, this was the one we drew that big diagram on the board. And
that's why I said, is that the 28% it looks like? Yeah. See, until we as a board understand this, how can we make an intelligent decision? I mean, that's where we are. That's where I've been. It just, it's too bad we got to take more time up to do this, but it's becoming much clearer to where is the money coming from? Where is it going? Why is it?
Happy to continue to share that information as much as you need. Absolutely.
Yeah, but I still want to see the agreement that we have with the county. I want to see what that says.
Our prior assessment.
Do you have that in stock here?
MOU. I don't have it right here on this table.
No, I mean
table,
in
but
the district, we have a copy of that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm just waiting for more questions or a motion or something.
I'll make a motion to approve the Shellfish Protection Fund 2018 work program summary.
I can understand it. It seems like a good thing to do. It's kind of been what we've been doing every year, it sounds like.
That's true. This continues to fund key programs and services that have been existing in the Shellfish Protection District for the term of our assessment.
And next year, the funds that are coming in will, even though they'll be delayed a little bit, they'll still be able to substantially do the same thing.
We can.
We just won't have a pot that we're starting off with much.
Right, and if we go through the rates and charges process, that's a conversation that the board and the county and the stakeholder group needs to have, because currently the rates and charges is not set up to have a designated 28%. We can still fund work in the Shellfish Protection District through rates and charges.
However much we want.
Absolutely. There's still additional revenue sources outside of this one fund that can fund work in the Shellfish Protection District. We have current funds in the works as we speak that will fund work in the Shellfish Protection District. We have two different NTAs that will come through in the next couple of months that will fund through the June 30th, 2019, fund through the rest of the biennium to do this work. So I'm not foreseeing us having a huge gap in funding at the beginning of next year if we continue to pull in these other revenue sources.
I'd like to have another month to study this and see that agreement and read it, because I never even got my board packet, so this is the first I've seen it.
You've seen the work program summary and all of the associated proposals in October. This went out then. And then we had conversation on this at the December board meeting as well. And then the stakeholder group brought forth their recommendation on prioritizing funds. I am very concerned if we're not approving this funding for district staff to do the implementation of this work. If we postpone that, I'm concerned about if this, there's a larger percentage of funding for our technical staff in this, or we do not have other additional funding to support their positions. If you're not interested in these proposals, I'd like to know if you have alternative.
And it's not just technical staff, it's outreach too. You know, carrying over the deliverables from engaging landowners with clear choices from last year. Calls are coming in, and we want to address those, making links on connections on with FarmLink. That was funded with engaging landowners.
Our entire nearshore program for South Sound Green is funded through this. We have about 900 kids from Camachin Middle School coming through her program set for this year.
When's that supposed to take place?
The implementation of it takes place in May. The planning for it takes place now.
I second the motion.
Okay, got a first and a second. Any more discussion? Richard, you said you wanted to see what?
Yeah, I want to see the memorandum of understanding with the county.
Okay, we can provide that to Richard probably, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I like how Ashley's on your head. Okay, any more discussion? Anything else you want?
Yeah, it's not setting well. Not setting well.
What are you concerned about, Richard?
Kind of like last minute hurry up rush do this.
No, it's not. This has been an ongoing effort that we've been talking about since September. I mean, I think you guys picked up your Shellfish Protection District packets with this information on right before the September meeting, or at the September meeting for discussion at the October meeting. And you and I have had a one-on-one discussion about this 28% fund and how all of this work is, and that.
Well, I understood that, yes.
We talked about this at the December meeting, and definitely as we've been developing our budget, this has been a large component of funding to continue all of our district services and district operations. I mean, this is an ongoing, I understand, you know, if you have some questions, absolutely, and I'd love to address them. I'd love to help you feel comfortable.
More discussion? No? Any more discussion?
It's pretty simple.
Yeah. All in favor? of approving the Shellfish Protection Fund 2018 Work Program, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Aye. So you have that for the record? Okay. Moving onward, so will you provide Richard with the MOU?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Not a problem.
Okay. So now, Samantha, Maya, and district budget?
Now we are on number 7, exactly. Yep, district budget revised. Okay.
District budget revised.
Yeah, so the budget revised again. There's a memo and in your packet about what has changed. I did include estimates for what will come down to us from the capital budget. As Shauna mentioned, the biggest...
Both of them? Sorry to interrupt you. Both of these? This one and this one?
Yes, and then there was a narrative memo, right?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. As Shauna mentioned, we'll be getting some money from CREP, and Brian did connect with Kathleen on that, indicating we would get something like we've gotten similar to prior years. So what I put in the budget here is a modest estimate of that those funds, since we don't know the exact amount, but what we have received in the past is $46,000.
I don't have that one.
For biennium. So
the printer printed them double sided, so it might be on the back side of the last page.
Okay,
you looked at.
Okay, it's down here. Thank you. Okay. This one too?
Yeah, this is the narrative.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay.
This is the budget and this is
the second. Go ahead.
And then I also revised the budget with some Chehalis dollars. Kathleen attended those meetings, and quite a bit of money will be coming to us via the commission to continue outreach in the Chehalis Basin and to work on projects. So those are the three big revisions that I've made, and on the staffing plan, those are columns X, Y, and Z. So
on the staffing plan, in the green, columns X, Y, and Z.
Okay, so, go ahead.
And all three of those funding avenues provide overhead, so that provided a little bit more money for district operations as well. But those are the revisions that I've made, and then this shellfish program revision came in after this budget revision. So those new shellfish numbers are not in the blue shellfish columns on this staffing plan. So I'll get those revised as well. So basically, I don't know if adopting this version of the budget is reasonable at this time. I'll just revise it.
What's the contracted services?
Contracted services.
On the white sheet, $20,000.
Under district operations?
Yeah, expenses.
So that would be...
I'm sorry, contracted services. There's
legal, there's...
So it says ours, recreation and conservation IT. Office, $1,500. What would that be for?
That's their allocation to the AmeriCorps position.
Okay. Then the South Sound Green?
They use contracted, that would be like buses for the kids, okay. Substitute teachers,
Shellfish
drivers.
Protection District?
Wait, slow down.
Shellfish, contracted services.
Partnership. What was the last one?
Shellfish Protection District.
Yeah, it's probably
under the contracted services.
Clear Choices.
Or Ashley.
Under Clear Choices, we partner with Thurston County Environmental Health to do, it's a joint program, and so that pays for some of their time to do some of the communication with us.
How about other? We have
12.5 and other on that contracted services.
That's legal.
So like in other under salaries and benefits, what would 11.6.22 be?
That's salaries for the plant sale. That's salaries for Sarah to go to the Puget Sound Caucus meetings. Any other kind of small miscellaneous.
So we have like a small
it's
grant
mostly plant
for participation
sale.
In that.
And then there's other for travels for staff?
I think that's mostly board travel. Yep, 1250 for mileage and 250 for per diem.
So it's, can you say that again? So it's 1300 total. Well, for travel. Oh, it's 17.
So that's 1600 of it.
On your travel, 1703?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mileage for something else. Could be parking fees.
For staff or board or both?
Either.
Either?
Did you have a question, Jeff?
Yeah. Very nice.
Go ahead, Joe.
So, without stating the obvious, lost 25%, 30% of your budget this year, or this, for the coming year. How much did salaries and benefits go up? What percentage from last year?
How much did they go up?
Individually or as a whole?
As a whole. You got 722, 790.
I think our budget for salaries and wages last year was 950,000.
So it went down.
So it went down. This does not account for an executive director.
And we...
And we've taken out a resource specialist.
Did it go down because of that? Because of the people that aren't here anymore?
Yeah, and that we have no funds to replace them.
And some staff reduction as well.
That's what I meant, staff direct reduction.
Yeah, so positions that are... we used to have currently that are not filled at all, like our executive director, and we laid off one resource specialist, and reduction of some of the current staff hours.
How do we come up with the executive director budget? Is some of your acting executive director, Sarah,
mm-hmm.
is there money being over and above what your outreach specialist, that if you all of a sudden you weren't acting executive director and only outreach specialist, would there be money available to go into?
We've never given her a compensation increase for her position.
Okay, so that answers no then. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Did you ask if there was money available?
No, I asked if there was extra money built into her salary that she's getting. And she said that answer was no.
No.
But you can ask that question.
Well, then I'll ask, is there money available to increase the salary of the acting executive director?
If the board said, we want an executive director, where would you pull the money?
That's two different questions.
So okay. I think if we're going to talk about recruitment of an executive director, we need to talk about a strategy and a plan to do so and continue to recoup some funding. I mean, there's not, as it stands now, there's not enough funding to hire a full-time executive director at all.
Let's go back to my original question. Is there funds available to increase the salary of the current acting executive director?
What's the executive?
Mr. Chair, this is Samantha Fleischner.
Okay, go ahead.
Can I just make a statement? I think that we should finish up this annual plan development before we go on to the next item, which is supposed to be an ED action plan, which Sarah's potential change in compensation would also fall under the ED action plan. So maybe we should complete one portion before we go on to the second portion.
The only thing is that I see that they're tied together, so I don't see how we can go forward on the budget without without tackling them both. So I was having a hard time deciding which one to talk about first. They're kind of intermingled.
Well, I mean, I'd say we need to prioritize either talking about one or the other to keep with the agenda, but like we can't, I think that mixing the conversation between the annual plan development and the action plan kind of cross wires. We need to take our time and focus on just an ED action plan and then try to layer that into the budget, or vice versa. I mean, we have to have a start point. So if we want to tackle the ED action plan and go from there, I mean, we have to work with Amy to figure out if there's going to be funds available to do this and how we're going to approach that, instead of just having this one conversation where we keep, like you said, they are intermixed, but we need to prioritize and like maybe figure out how we can go and develop an ED action plan with the help of Amy and Sarah.
So are you saying that if we said we want to pull money out of this budget for ED, that would still be in the scope of this budget?
What I'm saying is we have to figure out what our executive director action plan is going to look like before we can allocate funds for that. And then in order to do that, we have to then have the conversation with Amy to find out where the funds would come from. Right?
Any other comment? You know, what do you think?
Well, I think Eric's right. It all ties together. I was just asking that question. Because you say there's not any money for an ED. And I don't understand what all is broke down in these different categories.
So why don't you tackle those first, and then maybe we'll stay more on topic, I guess? I don't know. We need to jump out of this topic and into the other one and then back into this one. I guess we can do that too.
Samantha Fleischner again.
Go ahead, Samantha.
So one thing to keep in mind before we start dissecting too much is we have already approved the district budget. We're now just approving a revised district budget. But one of the things that we still need to look at is the potential of replacing our former executive director. So in order to approve this revised budget, we're going to have to think about if we want to try to find an executive director for 2018, or if we want to have Amy help us find a way to find compensation for Sarah to continue as the acting executive director. So there's a lot of facets to this tiny revision if we're looking at compensation or an executive director.
Well, I would say we look at the budget and try to come up with at least a partial executive director salary or a full executive director salary. Go ahead, ladies.
I guess it would have, if you want an executive director this year, it would have to be someone who's working a lot on grants also, because we were paying the executive director almost 75-80% of their salaries and benefits from assessment to just be a leader and supervise everything and not work on grants. And I think that is important for that role. So if we were to want an executive director this year, it would have to be someone who is also doing like the specific deliverables of grants too, so that we can legitimately bill for that time.
I see. Go ahead, Sarah.
Yeah, I agree with that, and also would like to offer, just from my 6 months of being in this role, that with the current interest of the board and support required, the demand for that time is pretty considerable. there would not be a lot of time to support, in actuality, an executive director to also then administer programs and services via a grant, unless they were, you know, managing certain initiatives. But I would be really hesitant to say we could hire an executive director with a large percentage of grant funding to work on programs with the need that we have for organizational support and management and board support, which is something that's not grant funded. You know, I would also offer an idea that we work on a little bit of a longer term strategy, maybe do during our annual budget revision in June, assess the amount of funding that we have to hire for the second half of the year. I mean, I know that's not ideal for anyone, but we don't have funding in hand to fund an entirely new position for an executive director with the funds that we have available.
Well, unless you redirected some of the current staff salaries to a executive director, correct?
No, not necessarily. So the only two pots of funding on this staffing plan that can go towards paying an executive director's salary are the very first green column, A015.
$68,000.
And the very last green column, which used to be for a lot more technical implementation. Because we don't have rates and charges this year. Very first column.
Well, that's $120,000 just in those two.
Right, and so now you're funding
but
in
you're
that.
But you're pulling out of administrative assistant. How does that work? In this column.
What
all the way down here? So all the way down?
Right, Mr. Dollars, yes.
Right.
So the items that are funded in this column right now are accounting, administrative assistant, receptionist, all of the work that Ashley does to support board meetings and customers and phones and programs, elections, Ms. Nora, me, acting director, all of the support that I provide, which is certainly not enough for the year, but there's some to get us started as we continue to generate overhead.
Well, if that was pulled away, then you'd be out of a job, right?
In part.
Because what other funds do you pull from?
I pull from all of the funds in
those
line.
Categories? Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
We should go across the
But range. There would be a hole. Mm-hmm. There would be a considerable deficit there.
So he's total hours over here.
Those are total hours, and this is total income for dollars spent.
Yeah, the top set is hours, and the bottom set is dollars.
We talked earlier about potential other funds that you're working on to come in. What kind of, just generally, where are you looking at?
Funding? What are those funds to pay for? Is that what you're asking for?
You said earlier you're checking out potential new sources to get some more funds coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we looking?
So a couple of the things that we're working on right now are developing those two NTAs. So that's to do technical assistance and outreach in the Shellfish Protection District is one of them as a subcontractor with Thurston County. The other one, and that's reflected in here because those are allocated dollars that are coming through. In addition, we were granted an NTA to do all technical assistance throughout all of the Puget Sound draining watersheds and some outreach work as well and to continue the FarmLink support on that.
How much they amount to, just roughly?
Can we take a 5-minute break?
Sure.
Do this topic? Because Sam just walked out and I have to go to the bathroom. So let's take 5 minutes.
What time to what time, please?
Are you going to just sit there? You are?
What?
It's 5:26 on my clock, so 5:31.
Thank you.